Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
All right, so this morning, we want to look at, even as we get ready for baptism and then communion as well, we want to look at a very important subject in the Bible that is fundamental to our Christian walk, that is fundamental to our existence. So let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans 6 and verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Verse 2. "By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we will no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the dead that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought," notice the phrase, "from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." One of the key teachings, and we'll see this as we go along, from the Apostle Paul to all the churches, was the fact that we died with Christ. Was the fact that when he hung on the cross, you and I, from a legal standpoint, died with him. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, God told Adam and Eve that in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And they didn't die physically that day. Physical death followed later. So when they died, what that meant is they now were separated from God. They no longer had fellowship with God. When God came in the garden after that incident, they were running away from God. God had a plan in motion to bring his family back to himself. Other things were introduced as well when they sinned against God. But for the focus of this discussion, we are focusing on the fact that they died spiritually. And then now God said, you'll have to, because of what you've done, the ground is cursed for your sake. You are going to have to go out there and toil. And then all these other things were introduced. The curse was introduced. Sickness came in and all these things. So man is now out there separated from God. And then God instituted a temporary measure when Moses introduced the sacrifices to try to break the gap. But that wasn't good enough. The Bible said that the blood of goats and bulls couldn't save anybody. And then he got to the point, now Jesus Christ had to come and pay the price for what Adam and Eve had done in the beginning. But the key here is, what Adam and Eve sinned in the beginning, you and I, as a human race, was identified with him before Jesus Christ came. So if you read Romans chapter 5, before he got to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we're right there in Romans, it says, "For because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more, death reigns through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus Christ. So if we study the whole chapter 5, what he's talking about is through Adam, we were introduced to all the, to spiritual death and all the other things that followed. And then Jesus Christ came to reverse what had happened in Adam. But the key here is, before Jesus Christ came, we were identified with Adam in what had happened. And then we came and died on the cross, you and I weren't there with him on the cross. You and I weren't there when Adam and Eve sinned. But something also happened to where you and I were identified with him. So notice he says, chapter 6, verse 3 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united, notice, we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So we died with him. We died with him from a legal standpoint. We died with him when he hung on the cross. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. He says it in different words. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, 2 Timothy 2, 11. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. How did you die with him? We are still alive here on the earth, aren't we? From a legal standpoint, you died with him on the cross. When he hung up there, we were identified with him on the cross. We died with him. When he was paying the penalty for our sins, we were identified with him. So notice what he says also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is so important. We have to get this to be able to live a victorious Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus walked down here perfectly sinless. But when he hung on the cross, one of the most important that happened is that he was made sin. And so when he was made sin, that is when he cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? That is when he went through the same experience that Adam went through. Now he was separated from the Father. So important. So Isaiah, looking ahead, all the way ahead in Isaiah chapter 53, he prophesied this before it happened, hundreds of years. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. This is so important. Thank you, Lord. We died with him. We were buried with him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Other things happened on the cross as well. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. This was when he was on the cross. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, or literally, the Hebrew said, that brought us wholeness. And with his wounds, we are healed. We are healed. So at the same time that he was paying the price for our sins, oh, the price that was also paid for us to obtain peace, for us to obtain wholeness in every area of our lives, and healing was also made available as well. But notice also, he says, verse 10 says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God placed you on it. Think about love. Going the full limit for us. He put him up there, but what was happening was not what the Roman soldiers did to him. We have to go behind what was happening in the spiritual realm. He was made sin for us. Of course, the Roman soldiers couldn't have made him sin. He was made sin for us, and he was made sick for us. He bore the chastisement necessary to obtain our peace. But the key here is, when he was up there, when he died, we were identified with him. We were there with him from a legal standpoint. Notice what he says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The key that we want to see here is, we were identified with him. We died with him, and then we were buried with him, and we rose together with him as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Notice, the price for sin and the price for sickness, all was paid for at the same time. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He himself what? Bore our sins on the cross, in his own body on the tree, and that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Notice, by his wounds you have been healed. Not going to get healed. In the mind of God, the sin problem has been settled. In the mind of God, the sickness issue has also been settled. But everybody has to receive the remission of sins which has been made available, and everybody has to receive their healing as well. Oh, I remember 2 weeks ago, we were sitting back there in the discipleship class, and we were going through this. And everybody in the class saw it. But one of us saw it, and she was jumping and rejoicing. She was like, I've never seen it like this before. And then just this week, that same person had to go in for surgery. And she testified on Friday. This is her testimony. She said, as soon as I saw some of these things, I realized that the slicing and the dicing of my body has to stop. She saw it, that Jesus has already paid the price. And so she went in to have this process done. And she got there, and they were doing their normal procedures before going into the surgery. She said there was a growth somewhere. They scanned, they looked for the growth, and to the glory of God, they couldn't find it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It is the entrance of, how many of you know that when a growth disappears when you are scheduled for surgery, that's a miracle. That doesn't happen. That is a miracle of God. Hallelujah. As soon as you see it, that the price has been paid for your sin, that the price has been paid for your sickness, and you were identified with him, that will be the end. That is why he was saying in Romans, sin shall no more have dominion over you. Sin represents Satan, and all that he represents. No longer will Satan have dominion over me with his works. Sin will not have dominion over me. Sickness will not have dominion over me, because the price has been paid, and no prisoner has to be sentenced twice for the same offense. My Lord and my God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. You see, that's the key issue. That is a key issue. It's a fundamental thing of the Bible. Then the next thing is, we were made alive with him. We were made alive with him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Get this in your heart. This is so important. This is so important. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We give you praise and glory. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, and you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. God made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. God made you alive together with him, forgiving all your trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demand. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them in him. You see, what happened is Jesus Christ had to go to the place where people, you see, the key issue that God was trying to solve is, I mean, now man was united with the enemy. He has the nature of spiritual death. And so everybody who hasn't accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, before they die, when they die, they go to the place where the devil and his angels have already been sentenced to go. Man doesn't necessarily go to hell because of what he has done. He goes to hell because of who he is. He shares the same nature with the devil, who has that nature of death. And the Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. And so anybody who has that same nature, when they die, they go to that place. But the key is, you and I, Jesus Christ has already gone to that place for us. He went there into hell and paid the awesome price that you and I were supposed to pay. And after 3 days, God said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And then he was made alive. He had to be born again. Remember, he was made sin. So now he has to be born from death to life. And so the Bible calls him the firstborn amongst many brethren. Oh, this is beautiful. If there is a firstborn, I say it humorously all the time, there is a secondborn. There is a thirdborn. I am some born in there, but I know I'm in the line. But the key is, he went to the place where you and I had to go. Notice what he says in Acts chapter 13, verse 33. My Lord and my God. Acts chapter 13, verse 33. This is so fundamental to our faith. Once you see it, it makes all the difference. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm. He says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your son, your holy one, see corruption. Today have I begotten you. When did that happen? Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 24. In Peter's first sermon, after the Holy Ghost fell, Acts chapter 2, verse 24. It says, God raised him, losing the pangs of death, for it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, Acts 2, 24, and we're on 25. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Notice 27. You will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. So he went to hell itself, and he was there for 3 days and three nights, paying that price that we should have paid. And after 3 days, God said, enough is enough. And then he was made alive or born again. And in the mind of justice, when that happened, you and I were made alive with him. So important. We were made alive with him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This, mark these scriptures. Don't let them get away from you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Notice the phrase, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. Not from a natural standpoint, but he's talking because people had already been, if that was the issue, Lazarus would have qualified. The firstborn from being dead spiritually. Hallelujah. And then notice 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Note them down. Don't let them get away from you for the rest of your Christian life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Notice what he says again. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Made alive in the spirit. Made alive in the spirit. And notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 1. It was impossible for death to hold him down. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. So, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Hebrews 1:5. Today I have begotten you. Or again, notice the phrase, or again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Again, I will be to him a father. That means at some point he wasn't a father to him. And that was the point. Today have I begotten you. Oh, that wasn't the day that he was conceived. He's not referring to that. Conceived in the womb of Mary. He's saying, today I have given birth to you. I've translated you from death to life. Again, I will be to him a father. So right there, when he was in hell, when the price was paid, at some point, he was born again. And he's called the firstborn. And you and I were identified with him. And the Colossians, we read earlier on, after that happened as well, he disarmed the principalities and the powers, triumphing over them in it. And then, oh glory, when he was raised up, we were raised up together with him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When you get this, that will be the end of the dominion of the enemy over you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. He repeats it again in different words. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. We went to that place with him from a legal standpoint. We were made alive together with him, and we were raised together with him. No longer has the enemy, dominion over our lives. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. That's where, from a legal standpoint, you and I are seated. So anything that is not allowed in heaven, refuse to allow it in your life. That is what he's saying. Sin will no longer have dominion over you. Satan will no longer have dominion over you, because now you are seated way above every principality and power in Christ Jesus. Oh, if you believe that, say amen this morning. I'm ready to run around this building. My Lord and my God, raised with together with him. The prize, that is the heart of the gospel. That is the heart of redemption. When you realize that the price has already been paid and you are identified with him in all these things. Oh, then like he says in 1 John 4:17, that is, he became what we were that we might become what he is. So 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. You and I are no longer identified with Adam. No, we are now identified with Jesus Christ and his victory that he paid for us. He disarmed the enemy. He took the keys from him. The authority that has been lost in Adam, he took it. And now, oh, we are in the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of God. We are no longer we belong to a different system. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. We have sweet comes. Darkness represents Satan, the enemy, and all that he represents. You are no longer, oh, in that kingdom. You and I have been translated. That means, I did a little bit of math. Translation means take from one point and put it to another. You are no longer under the domain of darkness. Now you are in the kingdom of light. You are in the kingdom of his beloved son. Oh, and there is no way darkness can overpower light. There is no way darkness can overpower light. Oh, it may be dark in this room. Put on that light and the darkness has to go away. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it, he says in John chapter 1. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Are you ready for that? There is a certain man, his name was Barabbas. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 20, we'll wrap up with that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 27, verse 20. Notice what he says. Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And then he says, Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, what evil has he done? But they all shouted the more, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Verse 25, and all the people answered, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released for them Barabbas and scourged Jesus. And scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. He released Barabbas and scourged Jesus and delivered him to be crucified. He was a notorious criminal. But from that day forward, Jesus has taken his place. He's now walking as a free man in the land. In the same way, if Jesus has made you free, you are free indeed. Now you can walk free. My Lord and my God. Barabbas is now a free man. And so this morning, in any area of your life where the enemy might be tormenting you, in any area of your life where the enemy might be exercising dominion, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the entrance of his word, by the light of his word, begin to decree and declare your freedom. I declare you are going free in the name of Jesus. Because the price has already been paid. Pharaoh kept pursuing the children of Israel. When they left the promised land, Egypt stands for a type of the world. He kept pursuing them. When they got to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea opened, and they went through, that was the end
of the dominion of Pharaoh over them. No longer could, that was the end of it. From the spiritual standpoint, you and I have been delivered from the enemy.
If he has any place in our life, it's because we give him permission to do so. The Bible talks about the fact that give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. You and I have been, our position has changed. Our position has changed. That is what will cause us to walk victoriously down here. We are free. 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 We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a dead Jesus. Oh, we serve a Savior who dead was not able to conquer him. He was raised up. And when we got born again, like we saw in Romans, we have gone from death to life. We have been delivered from the domain of the enemy. And so in the mighty name of Jesus, we reign down here in life. Through Jesus Christ. Oh, glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Colossians 3, 1. Notice the key phrase, raised with Christ, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's repeating the same thing. All these churches, he said it in Romans. He said it to the Corinthians. He said it to the Ephesians. He said it to the Colossians. They must be very important. It's a common truth. Peter talked about it. 1 Peter 3:18 talks about the fact that Jesus was made alive. It's a crucial subject. If you were standing there with the disciples, you wouldn't have seen it. They didn't see what was going on behind the scene. They didn't see him, being made sin. They didn't see him go down to hell. They thought Jesus was coming to set up a political system when he was raised up. Is that you going to set up a new kingdom in Israel? You become the king, we become the top ones in the kingdom. We have suffered with you enough. Now set up they didn't know what was going on. But he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And so now you and I can reign. Romans 5:17. Glory be to the name of the Lord. For it is because, we read it earlier, let's read it again. It is because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, number one, and the free gift of righteousness. Those two things is how we reign in life. We'll reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We reign over circumstances. We reign over the enemy. We reign over sickness. We reign over all the other things that that come from the enemy as a result of what Adam did. 1 John 3:8, he says, for this purpose was the Son of God revealed, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. The works of the enemy have been destroyed as far as God is concerned. Now, it is up to us to walk in that victory. How do I receive it? The first step is you must be born again. And if you are born again, just continue to meditate on these scriptures. You are in the kingdom of God. Satan no longer has dominion over you. Jesus is now your Lord. If you believe it, say amen this morning. Oh, let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. This is a good one to go into communion with. Now, the communion will mean a lot to you. Talk to God this morning. Talk to God about this month. He has packaged so many things for us in this month. Oh, he has packaged so many things for us in this month. This morning, his presence is here. His glorious presence is here. His glorious presence is here. He died and paid the price for your sin. He paid for your sickness. The curse, the Bible says, he was made a curse for us. Curse is everyone that hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. He was made a curse for us. Talk to him this morning. Thank him. Thank him for that awesome sacrifice. Thank him for Jesus. 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 As we prepare our hearts to receive communion, it is because of the blood of Jesus that we are made whole, that we can go into the presence of God. Thank you, Father. Glory.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, no matter what may be going on. Like I said, when the blood, when the lamb and the blood was introduced in Egypt, Pharaoh had to let the people go. That was God's last card, the lamb and the blood. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He was sacrificed for us. If you are sick, receive your healing this morning. No matter what may be going on in your life, as we partake of this, come with that confidence. Come knowing that the price has been paid. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Oh, be born again first, then abide in the house of God. Make a commitment that if he's paid a price for me, I make a commitment and dedicate my life to him, to serve him all the days of my life, and to help other people get to know him as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is all part of the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever eats of the bread or drinks the cup of the word in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Notice, for this is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. It is our recipe to for long life, not be weak but be strong, and also to be delivered from sickness. But notice, he says, "I received this from the Lord." He got it by revelation. He wasn't there when all this happened, but God revealed this to him. And so this morning, come with that mindset. The price has already been paid. Oh, and so he says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of his broken body for us. Thank you, Lord. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
I declare that this month is a blessed month.
I declare that this week is a blessed week in the name of Jesus. Oh, well, put a testimony in everyone's mouth, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, let us walk in the victory that has already been purchased for us in Christ Jesus. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Where there is a lack of peace, may your peace flood into everyone's heart. Order our steps to be at the right place at the right time. In the name of Jesus, may your favor surround us like a shield. May the Lord bless us. May He keep us. May He cause His face to shine on us and give us His peace. If that's you, say a big amen. Glory be to God.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.